Amen. That's a great message from a song. Are you looking forward to the day coming? Because I certainly don't get it yet. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 47. Interesting. We're probably going to, I get to preach on my favorite subject, singing. There's actually a psalm written about it right here. It's all throughout the Psalms because the Psalms are songs. Right here, we're going to find out why we sing. So maybe you're not given to singing. You think it's a waste of time. I know I've been to churches where the pastor says, I just look forward to the preaching part. But something we need to understand is that God designed singing for a purpose. It is a specific purpose. And it is the thing that we aim for at Temple Baptist Church, which probably nobody really meant to do it this way, but it's happened that the Lord has brought us to this place. We're going to look at Psalm 47, we're going to read it, and then we're going to just do a little bit of work here to see why should we, as God's people, invite music and sing music in church service. Now, if you're a person that crosses your arms and you've already made up your mind you're not going to listen to this message, remember, I didn't write it. God wrote it way back when. So if you don't like it, argue with Him. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our king. Sing praises." You think singing praises is the right thing to do? "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the word that sets us free, that allows us to understand why we do what we do in church. Most in this room would understand that preaching is part of the service, and yet many of us would struggle with, sometimes in the song service, first of all, how to respond, how to react, and then secondly, maybe, why do we even do this? I pray this morning that, as the psalm says, we would understand why we sing praises, and that it would change us. Well, thank you for what you do. Lord, I pray that as we look in the verses, if there's someone here that's never accepted Christ, or maybe there's here someone unlearned, as the Bible says, that they would be able to see from the song service, from the preaching service, from the response of the people, and they would be able to see and be able to say truly, God is in them of a truth, and desire to fall down and recognize their need for a Savior. We thank you and praise your name for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, of course, most of you know, because you've been here as long as I have or longer, that I was the music director, and you know that I still lead the choir, and it's been a passion of mine for years, even whenever I was in high school. And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't always understood why I sing or what songs should be about in church or even what my response should be. I haven't always understood that. It's just been in, especially probably the last 28 years maybe, that I've actually begun to understand the importance of singing. And then maybe in the last 15 years as I've been a pastor that I've begun to understand the necessity of it. So part of it's because I get to travel sometimes and I go to churches where I often say, this is not Temple Baptist Church. And I don't say that in a mean way, but there's something different here. There's a desire to sing. And if I went around the room and asked you why you should sing, most of us would say, well, some of us would say, well, God's given me talent to sing. That's true. We should use our talents for Him. Why do you play an instrument? Well, God's given me that talent, and I don't want to waste it. And that's very good. That's excellent. But there's a reason God designed music specifically, especially for His people. Now let's mark this down. The world has taken music and made it something that it was never meant to be. And although some of it's entertaining, like Grandma got run over by a reindeer and stuff like that, I mean, come on, that's entertaining. That's an entertaining song. It's not true. It's just interesting. And other songs that pop into my mind, which I'm trying to stop them from doing that right now. Yeah. I don't know. Just hold up on the reins. Or no, don't look over there because then you'll say them because it's just out of spite. So, and I'm not going to look at the older folks either because they're giving me a stern look too. So, but I know many of those songs, but you know, they have no meaning to me. Now, the people who wrote them, they have meaning to them. But do you know God didn't make music so that some person could write a song that has meaning to them? He designed music for a purpose. And here's what you need to know. The angels sang as He created the heavens and the earth. So evidently, God started it before humans even came into a being. God has always been worshipped as holy, holy, holy. But here in this psalm, we have kind of encapsulated the thing that we're supposed to do and then the reason we're supposed to do it. We're going to end in the New Testament. So if you even want to turn there right now, put a marker there, 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to look at those verses to kind of end this message this morning and give you something to do. But why do we sing? Well, there's reasons given here why we sing. So verse number one says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Now, in these days when a king or a conqueror, a general or such, in these days, in fact, you probably remember as David was slaying the Philistines, the people would sing in chorus, and some of the ladies would sing, "Saul has slain his thousands. Saul has slain his thousands. Saul has slain." And can you see Saul going, "That's right, I've slain." And then they said, "And David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul goes, "I don't like that song. That's not a good song." But it was true. And it was because the children of Israel had been trained from the time they were young about what songs were supposed to do. And of course, the world crept in to their music and they began to sing songs to other gods and all of that. But here we have the clear reason beginning here in verses 1 through 4 why we're supposed to sing. So we're supposed to sing with understanding. My hope is by the end of this particular message, you'll go, "Well, if nothing else, I know why to sing." And then you'll see that if you don't sing, you're not doing what the Bible says. "Well, I don't like to sing." That's fine. You need to understand, I'm not trying to make you like me to have a passion for music. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and you should be able to plainly see it. So the first thing we're supposed to do is sing because God triumphs all the time. God's never lost, ever. He's never gonna lose. Well, Brother Ron, what about all the people that don't get saved? He gave them opportunity. He's not the loser. They are. God has already triumphed. That's the way that verse is written. We clap. We sing praises. We shout because God is worthy. When the choir sings a song, it's okay for you to say amen or yes or even go yes. Brother Ron, we're supposed to be reverent. Well, Brother Ron, we're supposed to hold our hands and say, glory. If the choir sing about God, it's a triumph. Now, if they sing, "Grandma got run over by a reindeer," that's not a glory to God. It says nothing about God. Every song sung here should be about God. Why? He's the only one worth singing about. I've heard music that was, Stephen, our son, wrote a song for his wife, and all it had was how God had worked to lead him to her. Following the Lord was no mistake. Because when you follow the Lord, this is the gist of the song, He puts you where you're supposed to be at the right time, the right place, so that you can enjoy His blessings. You know why? Because God's already triumphed. You look around today and you go, "God's not triumphing. Have you seen our president? Have you seen the mess in our country? Have you seen the sin and the vitriol and the disgustingness?" You know what you can do and I can do? Clap our hands. God's all over this. The day's coming when we'll not only understand this, but it'll be over. He's already triumphed. Quit being a sad sack going, "It's so terrible." Then pray and tell the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm glad you've already won the battle on this deal. You've already won." Well, Brother Ron, is this positive thinking? Nope, it's truth. God's already triumphed. That's the way it's worded. With the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. The word terrible means He's awe-inspiring. And looking at Him should strike fear into you. But not only strike fear, but cause you to go, "Wow." Every time a song is sung, every time we sing a song, it should draw us to that point that God is a terrible God, but He is a gracious God. He is a God that is a great king, and He's the king over all the earth. Not just me, but someday Jesus is going to rule on a physical throne on this earth, and He will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and it will be undebatable. There will be no way that anyone can refute His power, His majesty, His belonging. They will, but they won't be able to do it with any kind of truth or authority, because He will prove that He is King and King of kings and Lord of lords. He is a great king over all the earth. Here's what people say. Well, if He's the king of all the earth, then why? Why is the earth like it is? Because there's a prince and power of the air who doesn't care for God. In case you didn't know, the battle's been going on longer than creation. And Satan wants to destroy in the Christian's mind, in the follower of God's mind, the believer's mind, he wants to destroy the fact that God is the king over all the earth. Well, does he know about inflation? Yes, he does. Does he know about gas prices? Yes, he does. Doesn't change the fact he's the king. Because there's no circumstance that can change that. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Israel could cry and say, "He's going to subdue the nations under us." Do you know he's not done that yet? But he's going to. How do you know? When Jesus comes back, the sword that proceeds out of his mouth is the word of God, and it will slay people. The people riding the white horses behind him, us, we're not lifting a finger. We're coming back as saints from glory in white robes on white horses. That's what the Bible says. But it will be Jesus who does the fighting. Why? He is going to subdue all nations. All the war in the world, and from the United States, from those with nuclear weapons, will never subdue the world. Even under the Antichrist, there are going to be 144,002 people that are going to stand and proclaim who Jesus is through the tribulation. The two witnesses will be killed, but that will not, so what that means is that Satan will himself, indwelling the Antichrist, will never subdue the earth. But when Jesus comes, every time somebody does something wrong, instant judgment, rod of iron. Right away. Well, why doesn't he do that now? It'd be great, wouldn't it? It'd be great. It would be. But this is to prove to you and I that we need somebody greater than a man to subdue this place. What we're going through now is not even the tribulation. And it's terrible. Is that true? It's terrible. I'm not talking about just what we're allowing. I'm talking about little kids and teachers being shot. That's just horrible. It's disgusting. It's sad. It's sickening. And our response to it is sad and sickening. But there is coming a day. It's going to be a day. And He's going to subdue all nations. Listen to me, Christian. Yeah, it's not good here. It's not good. Nothing good's going on. I'm not going to stand up here and go, well, I saw a little bit of good. No, there's no good going on. The people in charge of our government think they're Christians by their religion. Yet they do not sound like, talk like, and do not agree with the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when you and I are going to be glad we believe the Bible. Because we'll rule and reign with the one who's going to subdue all nations. We do this because God is God. Do you know that it doesn't say to sing praises because of what He's going to do? It's because of who He is. You know, right now, God has a plan in place for man that if a man is a drunk and he'll accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and begin to turn his life over to the Lord, that the Lord can take that away from him or that away from her, and they can be changed and become a good father or a good mother. Drug addicts. I know drug addicts that are preaching the Word of God right now. They were drug addicts. That's only God's. Do you know God's still subduing things under Him? Sin. He's subduing sin. Well, how does He do that, Brother Ron? Think about your life. Think about where you would be right now if you weren't saved. I shudder to think. If I wouldn't have gotten saved when I was 9, I shudder to think where I would have, what I would have been doing by the time I was 11 or 12 because of what I did as a Christian. Imagine this. God's already subdued. We sing to Him because He's already won. He's the only one worthy. When we hear, we see, we watch God be exalted, it should stir something in us. Joy should well up. It should be something that overwhelms us. There should be a response. There should be an amen. There's whatever you have to do to show that you are not thrilled with the talent. The talent is God taking people and using them. I'm telling you, most of the people in the choir and in the orchestra, you wouldn't want them playing solos or singing solos. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. Now, I'm not making fun of them. That's not how God works as in church anyway, a bunch of talented people and putting how God does it in church is, I'm the choir director. I get done with choir practice and I go, I don't know if we can do this song. What was I thinking? And that's what the choir's thinking. Ask them. It's okay if you say amen. And then about the third time we practice it, they're like, maybe we can do this. And I go, what was I thinking? And then the fourth time, sometimes it doesn't take that long. Sometimes it's the second time. You know why? Because it's not us doing it. It can't be us. I'm thankful for every choir member. Boy, some of you are like, well, I'll never join the choir because he doesn't think we're talented. If you think you're talented and that's why you get to sing in the choir, that's not why you sing in the choir. You sing in the choir because He is worthy. And this choir knows that. That's how we can sing songs that we can even practice them on Sunday morning, and I'm blown off the platform when we do them Sunday morning after practice. I'm thinking, boy, I better watch this. And then all of a sudden, God does what He does. He alone is worthy. You and I don't come to church for ourselves. So many people leave church because that's the only reason they came. Well, I went and I never got fed. Well, maybe you should have eaten during the week. I think Paul says that. Maybe well, I don't really like the music at that church. I'm looking for music that does this and this and this to me. And I'm not going to argue the fact about the types of music, but I'm going to say, you're not there and you are not the audience for the music. God is the audience. Well, what if I'm not moved by the music? You need to ask yourself why you're not moved by the majesty and awe of God and the terribleness. Because when He is exalted, we should be stirred, especially if we're followers. Verse number 5, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Sing, the end of verse 7, ye praises with understanding, for God is the King of all the earth. Again, we have that recognition that the reason we're singing is God is the King of all the earth. I may live here, I may have to be a traveler in this life, but I don't belong here. God is the King of all the earth, and God will change this earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This earth is going to be changed. It's going to be judged. But God right now, Christian, God right now is King of all the earth. So sing praises. I am thankful I don't look out very often and see people just refusing to sing. I don't. In fact, sometimes I'm a little surprised that people are singing. And it's amazing to me, even people that know that they don't sing good, because they've told me several times, there's one person I'm thinking of in particular, I love it because that person sings. And I don't always look for that person, but I watch and they're singing. They're not mumbling, they're singing. They're holding a book, they're singing. Why? Because the singing isn't about them. We're singing praises to the King of all the earth. He is the audience. He is the object. He is the terrible ruler. He is the one who deserves praise. So it says, sing with understanding also. You want me to tell you what will help you sing? Read the Bible. Because the more you understand Him, the more you want to sing to Him. I know there's a, I didn't ask if I could repeat it, so I'll just use the example. And the person here will know, but a time of life where there was some struggle and with health, and it was becoming obvious that there was great struggle, and the person's testimony was they started singing and singing. And they would take times during the day where they would sing. And they found that they could sing. Not, I don't know how they sounded, but that when they sang, it helped them physically. You know why? Because every time you and I will stop and acknowledge who God is, no matter our circumstance, all we're saying is, God, we know who you really are. Because when I read my Bible, it says you created the heavens and the earth. When I read my Bible, it says male and female made He them. When I read my Bible, the Bible says that you parted the Red Sea. The Bible says that you brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? I believe you do that. It makes you want to sing. How can you stand and not sing? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you not glad you're saved? Well, I am, but I show it differently than you. I'm going to give you the Bible. This is what the Bible says. This is not my opinion. It's right in the text. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Why? Well, when I understand Him according to the last part of verse number 7, I understand that He's King of all the earth. So shouldn't I, like the psalmist said, God, who am I that you'd consider me? There should be some point in the service, some song that you're singing, some point where the choir's singing, that you're overwhelmed. I'm not talking about with emotion. You don't have to be emotional. I know some people cry, some people clap, some people squeal. I mean, I know there's all kinds of, but at some point, there should be an overwhelming sense in you of thanksgiving because of who God is and that He took thought of you. Well, I don't agree with that. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Verse number 8. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. Man, glory to God. Right now He's sitting on His throne of holiness. I'm not holy. He is. He's given me opportunity to be holy in Christ. Right now I can be a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, Brother Ron, I just don't get excited about singing. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises. I don't get it. Sing praises. Why? Because God is high and in His holy temple. Our high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens right now. Jesus sits on the right throne of the Father making intercession for us. Somebody needs to sing praises. Babies sing when they are hungry. You know, it's not hard to get kids to sing, is it? Think about it. Your kids will end up singing something if they watch TV a lot and they watch some kind of show. They all know the songs to those songs. I have grandchildren and I had children, and it's amazing. They can memorize those songs, and I'm thinking, boy, I wish I would have memorized stuff whenever I was young, because then I'd have a much better grasp on the Bible. That's why it's important to teach them the Bible early. Brother Brett touched on that Wednesday night of our, couple of Wednesday nights ago, of our Master Clubs Awards, that they're learning verses. Why? Because when you're young, it's a lot easier to learn verses. Do you know how you can learn and understand who God is? Recognize that He reigns over the heathen. He sitteth upon His throne of holiness right now. He's not waiting to be put there. He's there. Verse number 9, the princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Do you know what the shields of the earth are? He's the only one keeping the earth from being destroyed right now. You mean we can't? Global warming's not going to? No. Don't fool yourself. The world thinks we got to drive electric cars and that's going to lower emissions. They are not thinking with half the brain God gave a goat. They're not. You have to have fossil fuels to make what they're making the batteries out of. Unbelievable. Guess what? God's the one holding the shields. And one day He's going to go, and the earth's going to go, and man will be left standing in front of God and judged at the great white throne judgment. You know why? Because He's sitting on His holy throne right now, and He's waiting for that day. You know the only one who's going to stand up and come and get His children? Jesus. You go, well, Brother Ron, God and Jesus are the same. Yes, but for our picture that God has given us of the Trinity and the parts of the responsibilities of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you and I have right now a plain picture that says someday God's going to say, go get my children. And Jesus is going to go, and there's going to be a trumpet and a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Oh, no, no. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those are things, look, God's in charge of all of it. If you can't sing praise for any other reason, sing it for that you're not in charge. I don't want to be God. Why? He's blamed for bad things, and He's never given credit for the good things. And God only does good. Well, why did he allow? Folks, it's sin. It's sin. God wants every man to praise him because he knows who God is. He wants him to praise him because he is a terrible king, because he is the ruler of all the earth, and he is the one who is preserving the earth as it is right now. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. We're going to jump into this. Let me just do some preface. It won't take very long because all the application is in the verses. But we're jumping into this, and Paul is dealing with tongues, speaking in tongues. We're not going to deal with that. We're going to deal with what the verses are about, and that is the way you're supposed to be in church. So what is our purpose and function in church? What are we supposed to do? So in verse number 10, the Bible says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance, signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Continue. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. So the purpose for everything we do in church, the reason we come, is to edify the church, not to be edified. Whenever we speak to someone, we're not speaking down to them or correcting them for their unlearned position. We are trying to edify them, reach down and help them up. Someone could come in here who's unlearned, would be a newly saved or a recently saved person, and they don't understand why we do what we do. And you note that they don't have a songbook, and maybe, and this is just a way to help, and they're not sure where to turn, and you turn around and give them a songbook and sing with them, or and you get around and meet them. Why? To edify them. To edify one another, to edify the church. Note that he says there in verse number 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Now, notice he's not talking just about tongues there. He's talking about why we do what we do. So when you pray, Why are you praying? To edify and praying to God so that others will see he's accessible. He hears. He's in me and I am speaking to him. When I sing, I am singing. I'm singing because I know that God deserves honor and glory and praise. I'm singing because it's a blessing to my soul to consider who God is and what he's done for me. Not only that, but just to, again, consider who God is. How great thou art has really nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. If I sing a special, as Rachel did, if you listen to that song, the words were about, I may think this, but there's coming a day when God's going to show me exactly what I'm doing and what's going on. Because it's not about me. It's about you, and it's about him. According to this, there are two audiences in church. God is the audience during the song service, and men are the audience during the preaching. God doesn't need to be preached to, but he should be lifted up and preached about. When we come together, our singing is to edify others so that they, if they're in the unlearned position, which means they're just newly saved, they hear and they go, wow, this is unbelievable singing. And I don't take this as a matter of pride. I'm just telling you, church, when guest preachers come here, all of them have said, I was trying to think if there was one that hadn't. All of them say, if they've been here before, they go, man, I just love the song services. You've even heard Brother Dave say it and others many times. We take it for granted. But you know what that does? The people that are here that are unlearned go, wow, they really believe that. And then the last verse we read there, verse number 25, is so that the people that are unsaved, that come into the midst, are not confused by the... So the main thing here is not fellowship to fellowship with one another for me to get around and talk to my people. No. It's to greet people that I haven't seen today. My purpose here is to edify them. I carefully say this. Anytime you use any words from the pastor on down, are you edifying a person? Not did I get edified today. Have I reached out to someone to edify them? You know how you can do that? By singing. By recognizing them. By thanking God when the service is going on and it's time to say amen. And you feel it bubbling up in you. I've heard people here, they give testimony. Man, I just wanted to stand up and just shout. I said, you should have. Well, Brother Ron, we're not Assembly of God. You're wrong. We're Christians. Whatever they do is not... That's... You understand that tongues are for a sign? That's what the Bible says. We're not going crazy. We want people in the church to know God is in you of a truth. And they don't see God in people that are dead. You're just trying to get people to say amen. You know what? I'll be honest because I'm preaching. So now I have to because I said I was going to be honest. Because I wasn't going to say it. Now I have to. I honestly do not, it doesn't stir me up or unstir me up about the message if you don't say amen. Because the message is the truth and there's nothing you can do against it. So whether you agree with it or I agree with it, whether you practice it or I practice it is immaterial. If you're mad about it, I have no control over that. You're the only one with the control over that. I'm not here. I pray one person gets edified, that my truth is seasoned with grace. But understand, it is not about me. It is not. It's not about you. It's about others, and primarily, it's about the King of the whole earth, who sits on a throne of holiness right now, who deserves praise and glory. And then at the end of the service, he deserves worship on our face before him, recognizing, I can't believe he would have anything to do with me. You know, if you're busy edifying other people, you're too busy to talk about them. If you're busy edifying people, you're too busy sitting in the service listening to the misspoken words that I use, which are many. Well, Brother Ron, how do you know that? Because I sat in services and those were the thoughts going on in my mind. And when I read this and understood this, I thought, you're not doing what God wants you to do, even in the service. How could you expect someone else to do what they're supposed to do? It's amazing things I've seen, not preaching and preaching. Preacher starts preaching, gets to a point, starts preaching, the person goes, I'm done. How do we sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding also? We got to know this. And here's what I know. The one big thing about it is I'm no better than you and you're no better than me. God's way better than any of us. We'll never attain that. And it's a miracle that we're even in this room together able to sing. Well, my voice won't let me sing. Then hum. I'm telling you, don't get caught up in the idea that the reason we sing is because, well, some people love to sing. No, no, no. We sing because the Bible says 5 times in one verse, sing praises. Sing praises. Sing praises unto God of the Lord. Sing praises to the King. Sing praises. Sing praises with understanding. Why do you do it? Well, because it's a command. And God is on his throne, right where he belongs. And no matter what's going on in the earth, God's right on his throne, right where he belongs. And he allows you to come to the throne of grace in time of need. And that's worth a big song. Like, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Wow. And all the misery in my soul. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is me. No. Something wonderful happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. If you can't sing that, you don't have the understanding. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around.